Shit, we're back. This is Christmas Eve episode. Thank you for coming in and listening. Go fuck yourself too. He yells, keep it on the hush as he's getting his dick sucked by two hookers. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Well, dude, there you have it. Now, this man cannot suck a good dick because he lives in Ram Ranch 2, not 1. It's Jomo.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. You know, it's... Can we talk a minute just about fucking...
Sure.
About Ram Ranch.
Whatever you need to talk about.
I think Ram Ranch... I think we need to make it happen. I think we need to... We need to make it happen. I think it needs to happen.
It's definitely on the life goal list. Yeah.
I don't know why as men, we should buy up collectively a large plot of land.
Yeah.
And just make it happen.
Yeah, I was saying we should do it in New Hampshire, but it's going to be cold there like half the fucking year. So it should be somewhere that guys can just walk around with their shirt off all year long.
All right.
Sounds good.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. I think we need to make it happen. Anyway, I'll introduce you. He says, I got some teeth instead of I got the rake. It's Mr. Jack Falcon.
Hello. Yeah, I have gotten the rake before. It's not fun. It's not a fun experience.
Yeah, I had a girl thought, oh, I thought guys like that. I'm like, no, not at all. Far from it.
No. I don't know how someone could think that, but... Mm.
That's because women shouldn't be allowed to think.
Yeah, I don't know. I like teeth near anything that can remove something should probably not be near your penis.
Give me grandma, 78 years old, with the dentures. Remove those dentures.
Gummers from gummers.
Oh, yeah. That should be a porn. That should be a porn.
Oh, that probably is a porn.
Hummers from gummers. I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing today? I'm sorry, Rob.
Okay, yeah. So, like, basically, I was searching through my iPod, and I was listening to Eminem the other day, and I had a really fucking good time. Like, that really holds up. And so, like, I wanted to do some more stuff in like the Eminem era, like what, like 2002 era. So I picked. Let me get the. I picked Ludacris, Word of Mouth. That's 2001. Outkast, Speaker Box. That's 2003. Busta Rhymes, Genesis, 2001. And Obie Trice, Cheers. That's 2003.
Ooh. All good records, banger choices.
It's not bad.
Is there anyone, any particular order you want to do this in, Rob?
Let's do this, the wheel.
Okay.
All right. This episode is brought to you by Meatspin.com. Meatspin.com. If you watch it 500 times, you're gay. Thank you.
Yo, I'm serious. When I said last time I went to Meatspin, I legit think my identity got stolen. Like that website is like, feds own it now.
Yeah, right. Probably. Yeah, so now when we say, like, you're gay, what we're saying is we want you to buy a piece of land so that we can build Ram Ranch 1 and 2.
Yes.
It's no longer, a hateful statement. No. It's like, you now need to join us.
Exactly. Yes. Come with us. Live with us.
As we cartwheel 69 down the road.
It takes practice, but it can be done.
It can be done. It's the head motion while sucking is a pain.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me drop the artwork. This is probably my favorite fucking. Oh, did I say it landed on Ludacris?
Oh, nice.
Terrible.
Yo, right. This artwork is amazing. I don't give a shit what anybody says. So, this album is actually called Word of Mouth. It's a 19 track record released in 2001, coming just over 79 minutes long. It's Luda's third studio album, reaching number 3 on the US Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles Area Codes, Roll Out, Saturday, and Move Bitch. Born Christopher Brian Bridges in Champaign, Illinois, Ludacris moved multiple times as a teenager, eventually ending up in Atlanta, Georgia. From 1998 to 1999, he studied music management at Georgia State University. Ludacris's parents are both African American. His great-great-grandfather was Choctaw, and in an interview with A.J. Jacobs, Ludacris learned that one of his great-great-grandfathers was a white Jewish man named Luther Smith. What do you think of that, Jomo?
It makes a lot of sense. The guy's doing well in the industry, so...
It's had to be.
This is going to be a little anti-Semitic, but we're good.
All this information comes from Wikipedia. He is a distant cousin of the comedian Richard Pryor. Ludacris wrote his first rap song at age 9 when moving to Atlanta and joined an amateur rap group 3 years later. These are all of his releases. I want to say the name of his debut album, Incognigro, is amazing. 1999. 2000, he had Back for the First Time. 2001, Word of Mouth, which we're talking about here. 2003, he had Chicken and Beer. 2004, The Red Light District. 2006, Release Therapy. 2008, Theater of the Mind. 2010, Battle of the Sexes. And 2015, Ludiversal. At 2001's 44th Annual Grammy Awards, Area Codes was nominated for Best Rap/Sun Collaboration, but lost to Eve featuring Gwen Stefani with Let Me Blow Your Mind. At 2002's 45th Annual Grammy Awards, Word of Mouth was nominated for Best Rap Album, but lost to Eminem with The Eminem Show. And Rollout was nominated for Best Male Rap Solo Performance, but lost to Nelly with Hot in Here. Hoeware, Greatest Hits, and Stop Lying are not included on the edited version. Word of Mouth has been certified 4 times platinum and is Ludacris's most successful release and contains guest appearances by 3-6 Mafia, I-20, Fate Wilson, and Nate Dogg. What do you think of the song Hot in Here, Jomo?
By Nelly.
Yeah.
It brought white and black people together. That's all I'm going to say.
Raising the roof.
It raised the roof, you know, it brought us together. There was a time where we were happy under George Bush's regime. Mm-hmm. And I don't know now where now everyone has a specific pronoun and is gay. So I'm confused.
And has autism.
And autism for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Rob, what do you think?
All the weird shit's on a spike for some reason. I don't know.
It's on everyone's business card.
Yeah.
Rob, what do you think of Word of Mouth?
I love this album. So I discovered this guy from a fucking YouTube comment or something where it was like somebody said this guy was really consistent in this era, and I'm really glad I gave him a chance because this guy's fucking hilarious, and I fucking love comedy. I listened to this album so much this past week or two. I feel like if dark shit happens to you and you come out with a sense of humor, that's the fucking golden goose. Like if you can make people laugh, if life gives you laughter, that's the fucking that's a fucking gift. You can give that on. Some other albums we're gonna talk about bum me out. So like this is a reason why I fucking love this album. So I'm gonna list a couple of my favorite jokes. There's so fucking many of them. Some of them are dad jokes and I don't fucking care. They're all fucking funny. But yeah. My rap career goes back further than your father's hairline. It's ludicrous. I pack more nuts than Delta Airlines. That song is a little like makes me a little bit dizzy because like he sampled a Mozart song in there and like it's a little bit distracting to me. But I don't know, fucking thumbs up anyways. And then here's a lyric that I'm like a bit like. I'm impressed that he put it in, but like to me, like this shows that he can like just like fucking roll with the punches or whatever. But it's like, Chris, for real, man, F you, N word, man, F you, fuck you too. So there's a fuck you back and forth. Like, he invites someone on his song to say fuck you to him, and he says fuck you too. I don't know. Like, to me, there's a certain, certain people to create their like fucking persona will like wipe shit clean, but he includes it in there. I fucking like that. But yeah, anyways, you're frosting like a flake and Ludacris feels great.
Bro.
who want to come face me? Face come want who? And women give me face till their face turns blue. They can't breathe. Dick to mouth resuscitation.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So he has a fucking million of them on this song. The whole Hoeware into Area Codes. I had Area Codes in my head all this fucking week. I love She Said. I don't know, move bitch, go to sleep. Yeah, I think this album is really fucking good. They say word of mouth is freestyle, and if it is, that's fucking impressive as hell, because he has so many like comparison jokes that rhyme. So I don't know, I think this guy is legit, and I'm gonna check out more of his stuff. First place.
Yeah, this is either number one or number two for me. Yeah, this is a great record. It is really funny. Yeah, the jokes per minute on here, it's actually pretty incredible. The first song, like Coming to America, has a bunch. And I have it in my notes to ask the question, like, okay, all these jokes, are they dad jokes? I think a bunch of them are. But I'm okay with it. He has a song on the later record that he says, "I stay in heavy rotation like a washing machine." And I remember that line. My buddy used to love Ludacris. And yeah, he's a white dude. When I was back in the military, this dude I used to hang out with was always listening to Ludacris. So I've heard a bunch of stuff. I was never like really diving into it, but I've heard a bunch of his stuff. And yeah, so he has a bunch of puns that are like pop culture. It's really hard. It's hard to balance the pop culture thing in any media, because you go 10 years in the future and no one knows what the fuck you're talking about. Coming to America has one of my favorite lines, coming up shorter than five Danny DeVito's. So Danny DeVito fucking, you know, he was popular a long ass time ago, and his career like should be over, but the dude is so great. He'll do anything. That he's come back on Always Sunny. So he's still popular now. But yeah, so it's a dangerous line to walk. You're gonna make a joke that's gonna make you sound like a boomer, or you're gonna make a joke that like nobody fucking understands anymore. But his I think have aged pretty well. So Luda was in. So he's done well for himself, right? He's done acting. He was in the second Fast and Furious movie that was called Too Fast, Too Furious. So after the first one came out, which is a pretty good movie, the first one is like legitimately like a solid movie. Everybody left the franchise with the exception of Paul Walker, and then Luda came in, and now he's been in every movie since. So he's been along for the ride. There is also, speaking of rides, there is a ride, like, what do you call it? The fucking like theme park ride in Universal where you get on a bus and it's like a huge party and like Luda's a part of it and everything. It's fucking great. The dude's charming. He's funny. A couple songs I'm going to talk about. What else I want to say about this album before I move over there? Let's see here. All right. Oh, yeah. One other thing I was going to say, there's so many guest stars on this record that when we talked about Primus, I said you could take Les Claypool and you could do a 6 degrees diagram and connect him to probably everyone in the music industry. I'm pretty sure you could do that also with fucking Ludacris, connect him to anybody through 6 steps. A couple songs on here. I talked about Coming to America. Fucking great. Roll Out. I completely forgot about that song. Awesome. Go to Sleep. Fucking great. 3-6 Mafia is on that song. I'm not going to act like I know everything about rap, but I have heard a bit of 3-6 Mafia, and I feel like not enough people have listened to that group. And then Move Bitch. Fucking classic Luda song. Everyone knows that song, and I could listen to that song for like hours on fucking loop. So yeah, there's a lot of great songs on here. There's a lot of great guests on here. It's solid. The recording is good. It's fucking funny, and I love the artwork on this album. Jomo, what do you think about Word of Mouth?
Dude, it's like if Dr. Seuss was a rap artist. I don't get it, man. I never liked Ludacris at all. You know, ever since he invaded, what is that universe, the Too Fast universe, or Fast and Furious universe. I don't
yeah,
like
Fast and Furious.
I'm just like, dude, this dude sucks. One song I did like, Move Bitch. It's misogynistic. It's everything that I like. It's the only respect that I'll give Ludacris this week. Everything else, man, it's just cheesy. Just shit, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of over fucking Ludacris, man. And my work leaves a lot to want, you know? I don't get the dog has human teeth or what? I don't get it. It's bothering
I don't know.
Me. It's bothering me a lot. But anyway, one thing I would say is that this is where you could get away with being cheesy and still make a couple million. And the dude has like a severe like short man complex, and it bothers me as well. So I would say this is like this is number four for me for this week. It's trash. It's not for me. I wouldn't recommend it. You guys don't know what you're talking about. All right.
I fucking hate you, Jomo. There's a sketch or a skit, whatever you want to call it, called Ho-Ware. And it's probably the best sketch or whatever you want to call it on this record. Some of these I would say like sketch wise or whatever you want to call them could be cut. I'm not the biggest fan of them in an album. Sometimes they work, but sometimes I'm like, whatever. But this has so many fucking ho puns that I don't know how Jomo can listen to this and not laugh and think it's fucking hilarious. Anyway, there's another song on here, Cry Babies, right? Has one line that I never forgot about when I first heard it. It's fucking gross and I hate it, but like I keep thinking about it. He says, then you catch me in Rome macking some broads and sticking them, and you'll be at home picking your boogers and flicking them. I fucking hate that line. It's gross, and I think about it like five times a day now.
Disgusting.
So yeah, this record, yeah, this record is good. There's a song, Freaky Thangs, and yeah, I don't know. I just think Luda's voice is like very recognizable. It's smooth. He's a good rapper. Again, he's like really funny. I would say, okay, this dude has done music. He's done TV. He's done movies. He's been in a couple video games. You remember that Fight for New York game that has like rappers in it? Like every rapper on planet Earth at the time was in that game. He's in it. I think the dudes from Outkast are in it. When he's done with acting and performing his music, this dude should transition to reading audiobooks. I would fucking listen to him read audiobooks. Pivot the career, have a whole new future ahead of him, easy way to make money. Someone else, maybe not easy, but someone else has already written the books. All you got to do is read them. This song, Freaky Things, has like a Spanish guitar over the beat. There's a flute in the mix somewhere. So yeah, I don't know. There's like piano in here throughout this album. I mean, I don't know. Great record. It's really fun to listen to. I was playing a lot of video games. I've been off work for like 2 weeks. I've been playing a lot of video games, catching up, trying to finish stuff I've started. And I just had these records playing and they're just really fun to listen to. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First one says, imagine if police and firefighters played Move Bitch instead of their annoying siren noises.
Nice.
That's a change we need.
I can get on board with that. I can get on board.
Next one says, Ludacris will never die for real. Next one says, always just hits different. Timeless classic right here. Next comment, so glad I experienced this generation and last. Ludacris stayed underrated, one of the all-time greats of the rap game and pioneer of Southern hip-hop. So yeah, people love him. He's had a good career. He's funny. He's charming. He's handsome.
Tell me more about how you want to suck his dick. Jesus Christ.
No, yeah, he's legit. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about word of mouth?
Love it.
It's pronounced Thanks. It's pronounced the way you think they pronounce it. So
there's a line in the movie Mean Girls where he says like my nephew's son is Anthony. He's like, it's not Anthony, it's Anthony. Jeez. But yeah. All right, we spinning the wheel.
Yeah.
Yo, the new Mean Girls movie is going to come out and it's going to suck absolute balls. All right, it's spinning.
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
Okay,
you
spin. Land on Obi.
All right.
Obi Trice, real name, no gimmicks. Okay, Cheers is a 17-track record released in 2003, coming just over 74 minutes long. It's Obi's debut studio album, executively produced by Eminem, reaching number 5 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles Got Some Teeth, Shit Hits the Fan, The Setup, and Don't Come Down. Obi Trice III was born and raised on the west side of Detroit, Michigan. He was given a karaoke machine by his mother when he was 11, and he used it to rhyme over instrumentals from artists such as N.W.A. Oh, so I am going to talk a little bit about everyone's past here, only because, with the exception of Speakerbox, none of these albums have like anything written about them on like Wikipedia at all. By the age of 14, he was attending rap battle gatherings around Detroit, including the Hip Hop Shop, where he and his friends would go on Saturday afternoons. The battles were hosted by Proof from D12. Positive responses from watchers encouraged Thrice to get into rap music seriously. Thrice was signed to Shady Records in 2000. He would eventually go on to create his own record label, Black Market Entertainment. Obi created a freestyle skit on the 2001 D12 album Devil's Night, following up with an intro snippet in Eminem's 2002 album, The Eminem Show's lead single, Without Me. Later in 2002, Trice rapped on songs for the 8 Mile soundtrack and also had a cameo appearance in the film as a rapper in the parking lot. Cheers was recorded between 2002 and 2003 after Obi was signed to Shady Records in 2000. The title track celebrates Obi's successful debut into the rap game after being in the Detroit underground for many years. Topics touched on the album include his life on the streets of Detroit, problems with his mother, relationships with women, and the soulful reminder that despite having made it into the mainstream, he has not forgotten his friends. Shit Hits the Fan as a diss track to Ja Rule. We All Die One Day as a diss track to Benzino and The Source in the outro, which features D12 as a diss track to Murder, Inc. Records. Other albums that he had, obviously Cheers in 2003, which we're about to talk about, Second Rounds on Me in 2006, Bottoms Up in 2012, The Hangover in 2015, and The Fifth in 2019. And Cheers has been certified platinum and contains guest appearances by Timbaland, Busta Rhymes, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Nate Dogg. Jomo, what do you think of Cheers?
Here's my problem with it, okay? It's not Eminem. It's typical. It's typical rap shit, right? He's got a song called Bad Bitch. There's no bad bitch. They're all lazy bitches, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. He's got another song called Ladies featuring Eminem. Great. That's going to be a great song. It actually was a hit on this, looking at iTunes. It's got a lot of listens on it. He's got a song, Cheers, Average Man. Like, it's just typical rap shit. It's rap isn't music. It's just poetry by mouth with some beats behind it, okay? And you, Rob, you lost me this week, all right, when you included OB Trice. You could have put Proof in there. You could have put, you could have gave me the fat guy who's in fucking D12. I would have listened to him before I listened to this. Hood Rats. He's got a song called Hood Rats. Like, you're not hood enough unless you have a song called Hood Rats. Well, you know what, good sir? You lost me at Hood Rats. I thought that was it was an okay song with Busta Rhymes featuring it. Cool. That's great. I don't get it, man. It's that shitty side of me who's just like, I can't listen to crap like this. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm putting this also top two. I don't know if I prefer Word of Mouth or Cheers. They're both fucking great. This is a really good record. I love this album. Don't care what Jomo says. There's a bunch of Eminem on it. I'm white, so I listen to a bunch of Eminem. He sounds great as always. OB Trice is definitely underrated. I don't know if anyone's saying that he isn't. I was playing a bunch of video games, and I had this stuff playing as I was playing, and it was fucking great. So this guy was rapping for years before that this came out. I tried to find some of the other stuff he's done. I'm gonna guess there's a bunch of mixtapes and stuff out there, but none of the stuff's on Wikipedia. A couple songs on here, like Average Man. I fucking love that song. Starts off the album, everything like works really well in it. Beat, melody, rapping, like all three of them together in that song are like fucking haunting, and they're really good. It might be my favorite individual song of like this entire week from everything that we listen to. Really fucking awesome song. Yeah, so Lady is a song that Jomo brought up. It has Eminem on it. They work really well together. This is not, they have collaborations, other collaborations, we'll say that. I don't know what came out first. This, he had some other songs with Obi. I don't know when they had come out, but they do work well together. Not surprised he was signed to his label. Weird that, yeah, Lady actually wasn't a single. You were saying it was a hit. It's probably become a hit, like, from Eminem being in it for one, but from I don't know, just people liking the song and listening to a lot. But yeah, it wasn't actually released as a single. However, the song like Got Some Teeth was a single. And nowhere near my favorite song on the record, but like that song did really well for him. So when I was listening to Lady, it's like, if this was a single, it would have been done well for him. Now I would have made the choice to do a different song than Got Some Teeth. They made the better choice, cause, I was reading about how well it did for Obi Trice. Good for him. Not one that I would have chosen, but I can see people somewhere fucking loving it. But yeah, this record is really good. Top two. I can't really choose between this and Word of Mouth. I like both of them. I listen to them quite a bit. Rob, what do you think of Cheers?
So like this album like starts with like there's a lot of sound effects, like sirens, cars screeching, gunshots, one of which really made me jump. Like Eminem was doing sound effects in a way that was like fresh and hilarious. Obi Trice, he's doing it over like a chorus that repeats. So it's like excessive to me. Like by like the second or third chorus, I'm like, okay, this isn't fresh or whatever. So after two songs of brutality, you get Got Some Teeth, which feels like getting a break from a hard life to finally get drunk and bang chicks, only to wake up and hope the woman has teeth. This is hilarious but dark. The setup has lines like this: "Treat the bitch too fucking good, my opinion." which has me thinking about Patrice O'Neill, who on the one hand is a total misogynist, but on the other hand, if you're surrounded by men and women who are just taking advantage of each other left and right, I can understand how people can be on high alert for the other person to get too much and in the habit of taking too much. This doesn't sound like romantic or like love or whatever, but you know, it's a hard life out there. So I don't know. What a fucking nightmare. Anyway, yeah. Meanwhile, in the hood, she driving around good. This bitch thinks she's in Hollywood. Meantime, she's setting the N-word up. That's basically my nightmare fucking summarized. Yeah, this album bums me out. It does have Eminem at his prime, which I love. And some of the choruses on this album feel bad to me. Like, shit hits the fan, we all die one day. I don't like those choruses. So it's like, if you know, I don't know. So I think in a way this album is good, but like due to bummer factor, I won't listen to it again. Fourth place.
Okay. All right. One other song, yeah, Don't Come Down. So a bunch of rappers have written songs about their mother. Eminem did one later in life, Headlights, which is a really good one. Tupac did it on the album we talked about. I can't remember the name of the song. Probably tons of rappers have done it. But that's one about his mother. A lot of feeling in it. Electric guitars in it. There's pianos in the mix. Yeah, so I don't know. I like this record a lot. It doesn't bum me out. I'm in with it. Let's read a couple YouTube comments first. Crazy to think beats like this were common back then. So many talented producers. Next one says, this guy's lyrical timing was fire, real laid back, but still on time. Next, Obi Trice was underrated in his time. Next comment says, most underrated album of all time. And lastly, 2003, back when there was a magic thing called originality. Anything else that anyone wants to say about Cheers?
Next.
All right, well, we might as well do Busted next. We'll talk about Outkast last.
Nice.
So, yeah, this, I'm going to be talking, like, when I was writing this up about Busta, if you go to the Genesis page, there's nothing on there. And if you go to his main page, it, like, completely skips this era, pretty much. Like, it's there as a heading, but there's, like, nothing written about it. So I'm going to be talking about the plagiarism on here that he's been accused of. When I was writing it, I was like, you know, there's a whole album that people put a lot of time and money to, and I'm not talking about it at all. But, yeah, there's just really no information about it that I could find. Genesis is a 20-track record released in 2001, coming just over 77 minutes long. It's Busta's fifth studio album, reaching number 7 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles What It Is, Break Your Neck, As I Come Back, and Pass the Cavassier Part 2. In 2018, Busta Rhymes was accused of plagiarism by Bernardo Lanzetti and his progressive rock band Aqua Fragile, because the song Genesis used a sample of Cosmic Mind Affair taken from 1974's Mass Media Stars, the group's second album, without declaring it. The usage of the sample is approximately 20 seconds and is repeated 4 times within Genesis for a usage percentage of approximately 35% of the total duration of the song. Furthermore, the name of the original producer of Cosmic Mind Affair, Claudio Fabi, also disappears from the credits. Since after years of negotiations, the situation was not resolved with recognition, Lanzetti and the band decided to take legal action. That's from 2018. I don't know whatever happened. Other albums by Busta Rhymes: The Coming in 1996, When Disaster Strikes in 97, Extinction Level Event, The Final World Front in 98, Anarchy in 2000, Genesis 2001, It Ain't Safe No More 2002, The Big Bang 2006, Back on My BS 2009, Year of the Dragon 2012, Extinction Level Event 2, The Wrath of God 2020, and Blockbusta in 2023. At 2002's 45th Annual Grammy Awards, Pass the Cavassier Part 2 was nominated for Best Rap Performance by a Duo or Group, but lost to Outkast with The Whole World. Genesis has been certified platinum and contains guest appearances by P. Diddy, Mary J. Blige, Khalees, and Jaheim. So yeah, this is a really good record, right? And if someone were to ask what like Busta Rhymes' skill is, to send them a song that you think it's best exemplified, there's a song on here called "Break Your Neck," oh, yeah. And I feel like that song really shows how skilled he is. The dude can rap fast. He has great flow, enunciation, and control. A lot of people when they're rapping, you can hear them breathing. Now they could get around that with cuts and stuff like that, but you don't hear that here. Like a lot of times when I listen to Bo Burnham and he does some of the faster stuff, he breathes so fucking loud that it's like I hate it and I can't unhear it. Anyway, there's none of that shit here, and it's just smooth. It's great. It's still impressive today. I listened to this one quite a bit as well. So I don't think that this is his biggest or most popular record, but it is good. There's actually a lot of room for singles on here. There's songs that I was listening to, and then I was like, oh, yeah, it's got to be a single. And then I look, and it's like, oh, it wasn't. Oh, this has to be a single. Oh, it wasn't. Okay, then this album's just, like, full of bangers then. Like, Holla, great fucking song. Like, good beat, good melody. Rapping's on point. So, Pasta Cavassier, right? It has P. Diddy on it. We've talked about P. Diddy before. Not surprised it was nominated for a Grammy. The song was probably banging at nightclubs like all night, every night for fucking years. And I have to ask, like, does Diddy charge by the fucking word? Like, I don't think we've ever heard him do a full verse by himself. There are songs that he's been listed as like featuring, and I can't find him in the song. I can't remember which one it was. We talked about it like a couple months ago. And in here, he will say like half of a sentence in a verse, and then Busta just does the rest of it. Like, okay, at least I can hear you. You're there. You exist in this song. But like, fuck, dude, take the whole verse. Like, show you should have some skill. You're one of the biggest names in rap. You're a fucking billionaire. You had to have some skill to get there. Like, rap. Fucking do it. Anyway, yes, he doesn't ever fucking want to. I don't know. Yeah, good amount of guest appearances on this album. As I was saying, like, there's a lot of great songs on here. As I Come Back. Oh, so this song has this weird rapping style. If you don't know what I mean, listen to it. You'll know in 2 fucking seconds. I don't know what it's called. I don't know if Busta Rhymes started whatever this is called. And I don't know if I like it. It's unique. And it's like the whole line about like picking your boogers and fucking them that I fucking hate. And I can't stop thinking about this rap style. I think about all the fucking time now. And it's like, I don't know if it's good or bad. But it is unique. And I don't know. I just fucking think about it all the time. Rob, what do you think of Genesis?
So I've loved Busta Rhymes for a long time. Okay, so like I think the first time I discovered him was 1998, and what's the fucking name? Okay, I don't remember the name of the song right now. Do You Really Want to Party with Me? Whatever the fucking song is called. So there's a song on TRL back in '98, and my brother's like, Busta Rhymes is cool. Yeah, that video, like, I don't know how good that song was, but, like, the video was, like, really cool looking. And then, like, you know, then what happened? It was 2007 and 2008. Travis Barker posts a remix of him doing Throw the Water on Him or whatever. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I fucking love... Travis Barker was my favorite at the time, so I would have fucking followed him anywhere. But, yeah, so he's doing Busta Rhymes, and so, like, that's, like, okay, that's... That's, you know, I got to check out Busta Rhymes. And so then I'm watching, the way that I ingested music at the time was all YouTube. Like, so like all I was listening to were Busta Rhymes hits that were on YouTube at the time. My favorite's fucking Gimme Some Mo', which is, I look for that song every once in a while. Sometimes somebody uploads a bootleg. I don't know what it is where there's a fucking copyright strike on that fucking song or whatever. But that's a fucking... like fresh 90s video. It's so fucking funny. And so like, I'm always going to love Busta, for like, you know, to me, he's top tier. But as far as like, when it came to picking an album, for this week, I didn't know which one to pick. This is my first time listening to a Busta Rhymes album, beginning to end. I like this album. Holla is definitely my favorite. I listen to that a whole lot. Bounce is good. Like Everybody Rise Again. I love, okay, yeah, the Dolomite. Here's how ignorant I am. I didn't know who Dolomite was until, what was it? The Eddie Murphy movie that came out on Netflix a couple years ago. I watched it one time when I was drunk and it was good. And then I watched it a couple years later when I was sober and it was still fucking good. So like, and there's a line in it that I misinterpreted. I want to pull it up if I can. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but can I find it? No, let's say that I can't fucking figure it out. I'm too technologically disabled right now. But there was a line that it was something like, before they like write you off as a prankster, let them get to know your gangster or something like that. I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm definitely saying it wrong, but I was I was like offended the first time I heard that, because I'm like, okay, wait, so are you saying that you're uncomfortable being a comedian, that you used to be a comedian and then a bunch of like tough guys judged you for it, and now you need to put on a tough guy front? And then listening to it again, I think I misinterpreted it. I think what he's saying is don't let haters get you down. Be confident, even if there's like, you know, shit talkers are always going to exist. So be confident and put your best foot out there, no matter what. I think that's what that was saying. Because to me, this is a thing I think about all the time. If everyone in your environment is fighting all the time, you get caught in this cycle of reactivity, and that's part of what when I think of why Tupac died, I'm thinking of one of the documentaries that I watched in when we did the East Coast West Coast thing. I remember watching this fucking scene where Tupac with his crew is chilling with his crew, and then so and so says, "Oh, that's the guy that was messing with your boy." And then Tupac's screaming in his face, and then Tupac gets shot like a week later. And I'm like, "God damn! This is the fucking insanity of the tough guy world. Is you're scared to look like a bitch, because then they'll fuck with you if you're a bitch. But also if you're trying to not look like a bitch, then they're gonna fuck with you. You're just fucking fucked either way if you're in a certain cycle of vengeance thing. So like, I have a certain sensitivity to this this thing where people feel like they have to put on a tough guy front. I don't know. I guess it's a problem with no fucking solution. But anyways, I heard that line. I fucking freaked out. I'm wondering. I had a bad reaction to this album at first, but I've since calmed down. I've decided. I don't think Busta Rhymes is putting on a front. I think it's a good fucking album, and I don't think there's any lying here. Okay, but I will say that the fucking song "Wife in Law." I don't know what to think of that song. I'm imagining. Okay, what was the line that freaked me out? It was basically like he gets involved with a woman who like becomes ultra obsessed with getting him to cheat, and so like the character in the story, whether it's Busta Rhymes or a fucking fictionalized version of Busta Rhymes, but it's just like, oh, here's a woman that's fucking me. And I always want to have sex because life is awful, and I should have some kind of fun in my life. So here's this woman who's banging me, and I feel bad because I have the wife and I love the wife, but this woman's here and she will like, she has me in this fucking trap where like if I don't do what she wants, then she'll rat me out. So it's just like I have to give her what she wants, or otherwise I don't know, or maybe I'm misinterpreting that too. But but anyways, I was having like an anxiety attack like listening to some of this shit. I don't know. For those of you who are in the grips of a psychotic woman who is determined to ruin your fucking life, I've been there and I feel for you. Anyways, I'm giving this Busta Rhymes album third place. I don't know if this is his best album or not, but I fucking love the dude, and that's it.
There's one song I want to bring up, because if Jomo fucking defends it, then we know that he just wants to watch the world burn. There's a song in here called yeah. Truck Volume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it has the corniest fucking beat ever. Uh-huh. Like, I would think that when someone played this beat for Busta, he would have been like, hell no, fuck no, throw that out. But they go with it. Like, everything else is solid, but that beat, I'm like, that's just too corny for me. I can't get past that. Rob, the song Bounce, one of my favorites on the records. Yeah, that wasn't a single either. I don't know how. And then there's a song called Better Stay Up in Your House. I'm awarding that song banger status. Okay, so I've been at the gym recently, and my earbuds are broken because they weren't made for exercise, and I would be running with them, and eventually I sweated so much into them that like they broke. So I've been going and just playing my music on my phone. Now, granted, there's almost never anyone there. I know that's like not proper etiquette, right? For the not because of the music choice, but just to be playing music out loud. But I've been playing it at a like respectable volume where it's just like, if no one's around me, they won't really be hearing it. When I was listening to this album and a couple of these records, I was going to like text you guys. Like, if I don't show up on Sunday, it's because someone fucking killed me. That's what it like, better stay up in your house. Yo, that song will probably one day get me shot in public. I will say though, crazy, it wasn't a single. I could see, because if it was, I could see it being like one of his biggest hits. I don't know, when I listen to that, it just like, it sounds like a song that like people would be all on board with. So there are a bunch of singles on here. I had talked about, what is it, four? Yeah, there's four on here, and they're, and like they're good, but there's so many other songs. It's like, yo, you know, Jomo hates it. I'm going to say it. I want to hoard this album out as well. There's lots of money to be made here. And yeah, hopefully I don't get shot from listening to this in public. Jomo, what do you think of Genesis?
I thought it was a great album. I don't know what you, I don't know why you would even say that about the song when you say Truck Volume.
Stop.
Yeah, stop. That's a phenomenal hit. I don't know what you're talking about. Shut the fuck up.
Okay.
That is.
I don't know if you're kidding or not, but
that is, to me, that's Grammy winning performance right there. That's, you can't beat that shit right at all. Break Your Neck is my favorite song, but I'll keep it short and sweet. There's just, it's too many songs in here. There's too many. 21 fucking songs. Give me 10 solid ones, and you have me at 10. You know what? P. Diddy's a rapist. That's all I got to say.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a good point. It's something I wanted to bring up, not the rapist thing. I don't care about that. The length of these albums. Yeah, these are all pretty long records, not only minute wise, but song wise. A lot of them are 17, 20 songs over an hour. We're about to get into a double album in a minute. But yeah, rap in this era, in this time, they are normally just longer records. We've talked about this in the two other rap episodes. They just wrote a lot of fucking songs, had a bunch of people on them, and they just let the fucking tape go, and they just rolled it. If these albums came out today, yeah, they would be shorter, or they would just be being released as individual singles. I don't know if people are putting out fucking 80-minute rap albums anymore. They could be doing it. I don't know. But yeah, this is definitely a style of the time. There are a lot of very long rap albums of the late 90s, early 2000s, right around this era. Yeah, I know what you're saying, that it is too long. I'm not going to say any of these are all that bloated, because like I just let them play and the whole thing flowed. And I think that these guys at most of the points in their careers here, that they knew exactly what they were doing, and they made something that was a big cohesive piece. So yeah, I mean, if you were sitting there and like watching the clock, it's like, yeah, they are a bit long. But I think that these ones are okay. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments first. It's crazy how most of us don't pay homage to Busta's lyrics. Man spits fire and entertains us in the process. Next one says, I wish they still had creative music like this. Next comment, if I ever get married, I'm playing Pass the Cavassier at the reception. And if it leads to divorce, I'm definitely playing it at the reception. Next one says, Busta always been ahead of the class. Very few hip-hop artists can compare on any level of the art. And lastly, someone please bring this era of hip-hop back. Yeah, a lot of people like this era. Anyone else want to say anything about Genesis?
Next.
Okay. Let me drop this artwork. So, Speakerbox, The Love Below is a 40-track double record released in 2003, coming in just under 135 minutes long. It's the group's fifth studio album, reaching number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart, and contains the singles Ghetto Music, Heya, The Way You Move, Roses, and Prototype. Following the release of Outkast's fourth studio album, 2000's Stankonia, Andre 3000 felt urged to do something different from his previous projects and moved to Los Angeles to pursue an acting career. He was relatively unsuccessful, landing a minor role in Hollywood Homicide and a one-episode appearance in the drama series The Shield. He returned to music and recorded a solo album that was different from the material he had recorded as part of Outkast. The output was a blend of pop, jazz, and funk with live instruments and more singing than rapping. When writing songs, he used a microcassette recorder in order to record melodic ideas and lyrics, then build the melody around then build the melody around the lyrics. The recording of The Love Below began at Andre 3000's Los Angeles home using Pro Tools software in addition to a drum machine, keyboards, and various synthesizers. He enjoyed the atmosphere of recording at home instead of in a studio. After creating 5 songs, he informed Big Boy of the solo project he had been working on. So yeah, Outkast is 2 main people, Andre 3000 and Big Boy. Big Boy had already recorded some songs when Andre had contacted him, but after their conversation, he decided his next project would be Speakerbox. His favorite song recorded was Unhappy. At some point in the recording, the project moved to Outkast's Stankonia Studios in downtown Atlanta, which had been used to record Outkast's previous release. John Fry, the studio manager and engineer, would later recognize that much of the media attention surrounding the album's recording was concerned with Andre 3000 and Big Boy's working relationship when they had chosen to record separately. He concedes that both enjoyed working solo and were doing so more frequently, but they continued to share and critique each other's music. They eventually settled on releasing a double album. In total, an estimated of 120 songs were recorded for Speakerbox The Love Below. Their other albums, they had Southern Playalistic Adelac Music in 1994, AT Aliens in 1996, Aquamini in 1998, Stankonia 2000, Speakerbox Love Below in 2003. What? How do you pronounce that one? Okay. And then Idlewild in 2006. In 2002's 46th Annual Grammy Awards, Speakerbox Love Below won Best Rap Album and Album of the Year, and Heya won Best Urban Alternative Performance. Heya was also nominated for Best Short Form Music Video, but lost to Johnny Cash with Hurt, and Record of the Year, but lost to Coldplay with Clocks. Speakerbox of Love Below has been certified 13 times platinum. As of October 2023, this is officially the best-selling rap album of all time. Rob, what do you think of Speakerbox of Love Below or any combination of the two?
I had a bad first reaction to this album. I mean, like, I put it on and I'm like, okay, this is like... I was getting into like the rap groove. I listened to Busta Rhymes first and Ludacris, and then I put this one on, and I'm like, okay, I do like that this is trying to be like more melodic, and like I wonder if I would have really liked this when I was like 17 and I had like a chip on my shoulder and I thought that rap wasn't real music and whatever the fuck I thought. So I appreciated that this album was different. I thought that it was taking some risks, and I appreciated that. But one of my gripes was that, like, I didn't know if my autism was acting up. Like, I couldn't hear the words. Like, I could tell that words are being said, but I couldn't tell what they were. Audio processing issue, I think that's called. But and then Ludacris comes on, and I hear his, like, every word that he says. And so I'm like, okay, they aren't using garbage microphones. It's not, like, a recording issue. It's, like, it's not, like, said clearly. And so, like, I made a joke to myself, like, is this the first mumble rap album? Like, there's not a lot of like auto tune here. It feels more organic than that, but it's just like, but anyways, yeah, I don't think that, I did listen to this, a second, a third time or whatever. And this album did grow on me quite a bit. First of all, like, it's even more experimental than like I was thinking at first. I mean, there's jazz piano on this. There are songs on this that like I get like I get like a Radiohead vibe, like a Pyramid Song like era. And there's my favorite things is like a sweet like jazz cover. Like one of my issues with jazz is that the drums are too quiet. Like I'm like craving like a more like metal style, like hit the snare harder or whatever. But yeah, so it's like this is like a jazz cover, but like drums louder. This album has so many cool and inspiring things, but it has like a bunch of songs and hooks which are stinkers, which makes this hard to rate. Like one of the big hits on this album is called "The Way You Move," and it's just like I love the vocals, but like the instruments behind it, like it's like the tension never resolves. Bamboo is a funny song. Like I don't have kids, but the kid in that song is fucking cute. So you know, sometimes I understand why people have kids and shit. Hey Yaza has 1.2 billion plays on Spotify, so that's like November Rain type success here. I also I looked up some of the lyrics here. Here's one for roses. I know you'd like to think your shit don't stank, but lean a little closer, see? Roses really smell like poo-poo. Fucking immature, I love it. Caroline, see, she's the reason for the word bitch. I hope she's speeding on the way to the club, trying to hurry up to get to a baller or a singer or somebody like that, and try to put on her makeup in the mirror and crash, crash, crash into a ditch. Just playing. Jesus Christ. But yeah, so it's there's something about this, like hearing this, like those are dark fucking lyrics, but put to like poppy funky music. So it was, they're like the contrast there is interesting. She's got a hottie's body, but her attitude is potty. There's something about the immaturity here, which is making me laugh super fucking hard. But yeah, let's see. Vibrate has this snare drum on tape played backwards sound and like a cool trumpet giving like a sad doomy jazz vibe. And then like, yeah, I don't know. There's experimentation here that, okay, wait. Yeah. And then, okay. Here's a line said naked and I count 1, 2, 3, plus I make great peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, Van Helsing. Like, why they stripped away all the instrumentation to make this fucking line like clear as day. Like, I don't I don't know that I agree with every decision made on this album. But like with 2 and 3 listens, I kind of just appreciated some of like the bravery of it. I'm not so offended. It's super long and I don't agree with every decision, but I do think that there was ballsy decisions here. And overall, I would listen to this again. I'm giving the second place for the week. That's it.
Yeah. Bamboo is the one where he's in the studio with his daughter. Is that what? Yeah, dude, that one is legit adorable. Like, yeah, I don't care about kids. Eminem did this as well. He had his daughter in the studio at one point. It's fucking great. Yeah, it is great. It's memorable. It's adorable. Okay. Yeah, so this is very different from all the other stuff we listened to. A lot of it is less aggressive and more soulful. There, you talk about the way you move. There's like trumpets in the mix of that. I forgot about that song. I forgot that it existed as soon as it came on. It's like, yep, okay, I remember that being a hit. Classic song. Everyone knows it. So I knew that this album was popular. I didn't know it sold over 13 million copies. Like, this is a big banger record. So Bombs Over Baghdad is still my favorite Outkast song. But this, like, record, I want to talk about pretty much, like, the big hits off of it first. So Way You Move, fucking great song. So Ghetto Music, right? That song never gets old. I think that song is awesome. I'm wearing a banger status. Also, it's another song that I feel like had been blasted in clubs forever. And I have my notes here. I'd like to find a person who really actually doesn't like that song, but I know Jomo's going to tell us how much he doesn't like it. the two other big hits, like Roses. Yeah, we know it. You read some lyrics from it. Song will get stuck in your head immediately. Everyone's heard it a million times. So that song has like 130 million views on YouTube. Like the music video, but Heya has 700 million views. That's another song I haven't heard in a long time. I think you said that Heya is the one that has 2 billion views on Spotify.
1.2 billion. And it's an odd time signature. So like anytime a fucking hit has odd times, I fucking love it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, for good reason. It has a bunch of listens, views, whatever. It's one of the most memorable songs of the time. The beat is fucking infectious. It still probably gets played at every wedding reception ever, especially like every white wedding reception. There's like a lot of good songs on this album, on this double record. I listened to Speaker Box a lot more than Love Below. That's really what I was listening to. This is a big thing to take on if you want to. It's like 140 minutes almost. Also, I think it's this album. It's one of the four. The word bucket gets rhymed with fuck it. And ICP did that before and people clowned on them. So, and now they better not praise this shit. The same word, same. I mean, obviously there are two different styles and of two different subjects, but still this popped out because I remember everyone like clowning on that line, not necessarily here, but like the bucket fuck it line. They do it somewhere on these four albums. I think it was on this one. Jomo, what do you think of Outkast?
I'll keep it short and sweet. All right, this is a great album. It has a lot of history. It made a lot of money, but I'd rather listen to the audiobook of Mein Kampf over this.
Wow.
I hate you, Joma. So anyway, last thing I wanted to talk about. So Big Boy said that his favorite song on these albums is Unhappy. Not my thing. I know someone somewhere loves that song besides the person who created it. And I'm going to guess that many children were probably conceived with that song in the playlist. But it's one for me that, like, it's not a winner for me personally. But there's a song called Bust, which is one of my favorite songs on the record. It's more aggressive than the other stuff. And then Killer Mike is the one who's featured in it. He's fucking great in it. And yeah, it's more aggressive. It's different, even though it's more of the same stuff we listened to in the other albums from the stuff that's going on here. This album's a lot lighter in a lot of ways than the other ones, musically and the stuff that they're talking about. But yeah, Bus is one of the more aggressive ones. So yeah, this record is good. It's probably great. If you really want to dive in this, it's going to take quite a while. There's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of stylistic things going on. I don't know, all kinds of stuff, beats, instruments, everything. It's a fucking huge thing. Let's read a couple YouTube comments. We'll get the fuck out of here. First one says, one of the most positive examples of growing apart creatively I can think of. Both of them had very different things to say, and they both killed it. 20th anniversary and best-selling rap album of all time. Well-deserved. Next one says, I must have listened to Love Below 4 times a day for a month when it came out. I've never done that with any album. Next comment, if I was on my deathbed and they asked what my parting request would be, well, number one on that list would be for Outkast to do one more album. And lastly, this shit changed my life. Yeah, good for them. They had a great career. I am curious of what they've been doing. Their last album as Outkast, at least, was in 2006. So it was quite a while ago. Anyone want to say anything about the stuff we listened to today?
Good albums.
Pick up the audiobook Mein Kampf, read by David Duke, on Amazon.
Nice.
$17.99. Oh,
nice.
Is it really on there?
No, I'm just fucking around.
Nice.
I don't know. What are we doing next week, Jomo?
Taylor Swift.
Right. I fucking hate you.
All right. Well, take care. Enjoy, and look forward to the cancellation next week.
Nice.